Good morning. Well, that is a welcome, isn't it? Well, thank you, Ashley. Well, can I just add my welcome to Ashley's welcome? I love to be here with you guys. I love to see you guys every Sunday. For me, I tell you what, you don't know exactly how it is just to come into Sunday and just worship our God together. And just know that I'm in that community, that, you know, that fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. That is an amazing thing. So, and if you're joining online, can I say a very welcome to you as well? So, this morning, we will be continuing on our preaching series, which is Different Worship. But before I get into that, could we just appreciate the band? Honestly, every time they come and they worship and, you know, we don't know what it is. They take us into the presence of God. I just enjoyed it this morning. It was amazing, honestly speaking. I was like, wow, I didn't want it to stop. I just wanted us to continue and just keep worshiping. But hey, we got to move on. So, we are called to be different. And that's what we've talked about in the last 3-4 weeks. That's the preaching series. And we're called to be different for a reason. Because the God that we serve is different. The way He does everything is different from the things of this world. And then if we believe in Him, if we put our trust in Him, then we are called to be like our God. And that means we should be different in the way we do our things. We've looked at different in worship, different in standards, different in the way, in generally, the general ways we do things. And today we're looking at different in prayers. You know, and there might be somebody out there thinking, well, different in prayers, I'm not sure everyone prays. Yeah. What about the atheists? They don't believe anything. Would they pray? Well, I had an experience once. I was flying from Dubai, flying into Lagos. And we're just about to land. And the captain of the flight said to the cabin, the captain of the plane said to the cabin and said, the weather is not so good that it cannot see clearly to land into Lagos, and that it's going to make an effort to try and land at the same time. Although it doesn't look good, but it'll make an effort and see how it goes. And just at that point, everybody in the cabin started to pray. Every single 250 passengers. And I looked around and thought, whoa, okay. Everyone does actually pray. And it is so true. When push comes to shove, people pray. They might not know who they're praying to. They might not know what they're saying, but they just look, there's something out there that probably I need help right now. And yeah, and they do that. And that makes me realize that everyone pray. So if we're called to pray, and if we are the children of God, then we should do ours differently. So the main passage I'll be looking at today is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 18. If you have your Bibles with you or your Bible apps, you can bring that up and then you can have a look. It will be on the screen as well if you want to follow through. So this is Jesus speaking. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. It says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard by many, but because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it would not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Amen. As I was preparing for this passage, you know, I looked at other translations, and there was one other translation that caught my eye, and I would like to read from that, and that is the Message Bible. I like it because the way he said it was so practical, and it just brings light to what we're discussing this morning. I'll read from the Message Bible, from verse 1 to, I read to 13. It says, "And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for 15 minutes of fame. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here is what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and as honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace." Amen. I just like that because it's very practical. Because when we pray, sometimes we get into role play without realizing. But generally, that's not what God is calling us to do, particularly in this passage that we've read. Jesus talked in that passage, he talked about for us not to be hypocritical in our prayers, which means, basically, what hypocrites, what do? They pretend, which means sometimes we get into pretension without actually realizing it. We're so focused on the people around us because we say, oh, they're going to listen to what I'm praying about. So I better say the right words, even though I don't mean it from my heart. And God is saying that's not what we're called to. That's not what children of God should. Our focus is Him. After all, the people that listen to what we pray about are not going to do anything about the issues that we're talking about. It's God that can do it, and He will do it. And so He wants us to always connect with the heart when we pray, to always come to Him and say it as it is. And just, Lord God, this is it, Lord. We don't need to have to speak so many English, so many grammar, or sometimes you think, well, Lord, I don't even know what to say, but we've got the Holy Spirit to help us as well. The Bible says Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf. So He knows everything that we're going through. So He wants us to come to Him as plain as that. And then being hypocritical, the other side of it as well, is you got other people that probably will say to us, come, let's pray for me. Would you pray for me? And sometimes you say, oh, yeah, I'll pray. And do we pray sometimes? No. And God is saying we should not be. That's what Jesus Christ is dealing here. Not be hypocritical. Just, if you're going to pray, if you say to somebody you're going to pray, then please pray. Even if it's 1 minute. Oh, Lord, I remember that prayer point. Lord, would you help this person? That's what God is calling us to do. And that's the standard of our God. That is how He wants us to always pray. You know, so God Himself will continue to help us even as we go on. And then Jesus mentioned in the passage that, you know, that we have, for those that do that, that they have received their rewards. Because the intention is what matters. When we pray and then we're thinking about other people around us, that's our intention. That's, Jesus said, we've received the reward already. Oh, they've noticed us. Well done. Job done. But that is not the reason why we want to pray. So God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us because He sees through the heart. They said in that passage as well that God saw the leaders of the time. They were the Pharisees. And He said, well, do not be like them because they have received their reward. And I'm sure there have been people at the time that would have said, these are the guys we want to be like. They know how to pray. We see them at the street corners screaming all the words of God. And people were like, wow, I want to be that. But Jesus saw through all of that. He saw through the heart and realized they're just showing off. They're just doing all the drama. And to be honest with you, even in these present days, there are a lot out there. If just all you need to do is get onto YouTube and you see people asking, they call them prayer peddlers. So come on, we'll pray for you. Bring money in. Send this money and week, months, just support them. But that's not what God is calling us as Christians to do. Prayer should be a simple conversation with our parents, our Father in heaven. And that's what Jesus is actually dealing with here. It's not in the number of words that we can come up with as well. Prayer for a Christian does not have to be complicated or difficult. It's something anybody can do anywhere at any given time. particularly because we have the Holy Spirit with us that can help us as well. And that's one area that Christ actually dealt with in this passage. One other phrase is said again. It says, go into your rooms, close the door, and pray to your Father. Now again, here he's saying it is something private. It's a heart thing. It's something between you and God. And privacy here does not necessarily mean, no, I don't want to have to everybody hear my prayer point, or they do not need to know what I'm praying about. No. Privacy here, it means it's still a closed door relationship, closed door experience with our Father in heaven. Even if we're in the midst of people praying, our focus should not be on them. That's what he's saying here. Our focus should not be how the viewer was saying or how they're watching. Am I saying the right words? Am I? It said the focus is on God, on him that we are dealing with. And then close the door, pray before you. Again, apart from me being a private, it's just about relationship because you're praying to a Father. You're not praying to a Father that is far away or a Father that does not know you or a runaway Father. We're praying for the Father of all fathers, the King of Kings, and he hears. It says in 1 John 14:15. That this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. So it's God that we speak to, and we know that he hears us. But he talks about speaking according to his will, which means being knowledgeable in the word of God is quite important as well. Because that helps us to actually pray the will of God. It helps us to know exactly what God wants us to pray about. And we can pray according to that. So it's always good. We always encourage that in this church. Get into the word. Pick the Bible. Let's read our word regularly. Because we get to know our God better and we get to know his will more, and then we can pray accordingly. Somebody once said to me that when you pray and you receive an answer, thank God. They said, but when you pray and you do not receive an answer, even thank God the more. Because what it means is God has overruled your prayer and has given the exact thing that you need. So you should be thankful to God when you pray to God and he doesn't answer what you ask for, but he gives you what he knows that you need. And then when we go to God as well, Jesus Christ is saying here that we should go expectant because our Father is a rewarder. Hebrews 11:6 says, anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So if we go to God asking in prayer, we should be expectant even in prayer that God will answer, particularly when we know we're praying his will, which we will get to when we read the Lord's Prayer, which is a template God actually gave us. It's part of the passage as well. So when we know we're praying according to his will, we should go expectantly because our God is a loving Father. He knows us. He formed us. He knew us from the very start. The Bible says before we were formed in our mother's womb, he knew us. He formed everything about us. So he knows the perfect thing that we need. Sometimes we think we need that, but he knows the best thing that we need. It's like my son, Temisaya, coming to me, Dad, I need a car right now. Of course I know he doesn't need a car. He can't drive. He's not even old enough to drive a car. But he might want that. But again, the will of God, because if the Father knows the Son, he knows exactly what he needs, and he'll give him the exact thing that he needs. And that's the confidence that we should have. It talks about babbling as well. Actually, before we get into babbling, there's a story I want to probably read. It's about a woman, about being private in our prayers. In 2 Kings, I'll read that. 2 Kings chapter 4. And the story about the wife, I'll read from verse 1. It said, the wife of a man from the company of prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he's revered the Lord. But now his creditor has come to take my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. Elisha said, go around, ask all the neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you. Now, Elisha was putting the focus on God. That you've come to me, but it's God that's going to do it. And that's what Jesus is saying here as well, when he says it's a private thing. So shut the door. And like I said, shutting the door doesn't mean, obviously, always that just only you alone. It could be amongst believers. As long as you're doing it with him. He said to him, shut the door, and the Lord that you're crying out to is the one that's going to do it. It didn't say, I'm going to come onto it, and I will do my, and then, no. God would do it. And I love that. And when I read that, I thought, well, do you know what? That is actually very, very true. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. So going on babbling, you know, Jesus talked about we shouldn't babble too when we come to him. Now, are we saying that God doesn't like us to come in prayers and spend time in prayers? Of course not. God wants quality time with him in prayers. You know, but what he doesn't want us to do is just keep on repeating words as if we do not believe that the God that we serve has heard us. Repeating the same thing over and over and over again. Isaiah 59:1 says, the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ears too dull to hear. When we cry to him, he hears. And because he hears and he knows us, he will answer and he will do. So we're called, when we pray, to pray believing that God that we pray to is hearing us and he will answer. So he said, but the pagans, this is what they do. The pagans will go on and on and on repeating. Why? Because they have no God. What they're crying out to is not a God. They're crying out to a God that doesn't hear, a God that does not exist. That's why they keep going on and on. But you've got a God that listens, that hears, that knows you. Therefore, yeah, just tell him what he is and believe that he's heard. And there is a story in 1 Kings, a very good story about, you know, the showdown between Elijah and the worshippers of Baal. And, you know, the story goes that Elijah said to them, I said, well, let's find out who is the real God today. You call, make a sacrifice to your God, and let's see if he answers. And I will call on to the God, my God, the God of all creations, and see if he answers. And they came, and they did all that they did, and they shouted. The Bible said they shouted all day long. Nothing up. It got to a point that Elijah started to actually taunt and tease them. He said in verse 27 of that, it says, at noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he's a god. Perhaps he's deep in thoughts or busy or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping. He must be awakened. And obviously they went on and on all day and nothing happened. You know, and that's what Jesus Christ was referring to. He said, don't be like that. Don't be like pagans. Because who they're crying out to doesn't exist. But we've got a God that is the creator God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that made everything to be, just at his spoken word. He's got all power. So we should go believing that he would do it. He hears us when we cry out to him. Sometimes you think it's so long. That's our thoughts. Oh, God has not answered it. I've been praying this prayer for years. God knows. Or months. Or however long. But God knows the perfect time. Because time is in his hands. And he answered. He answers at the right, perfect time that we need. So we should go trusting. Always and believing that our Father hears us. And he will do that which is called us. It's what we're asking him to do. But Jesus didn't stop at this. You see, that's how amazing our God is. One of the verses in the Bible that always treats me is God says, I've laid before you life and death, but choose life. I love that passage because I do not know any examiner that will give you an exam and I'll tell you what, the answer is this, go ahead and choose it. You know, and that's what I love about God. And that's what God does at every time. He will tell us, this is not what you should do, but this is what you should do. So, and Jesus went on in that and said, well, he now gave us a template. What we know as the Lord's Prayer, how we should pray as his children. So, let's look at that, the template that Jesus gave to us. Last year, early January, we had a preaching series on Teach Us How to Pray. I'm sure if anyone remembers, and it's still there, if anybody wants to listen to, and we just went through, you know, this Lord's Prayer, and it was amazing. Amazing, actually, to listen. So we can always go back and listen. But let's look at what Jesus is saying here. So he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This is how Jesus tells us, this is how we should pray. And what Jesus is saying here is, whenever we come to God, first of all, it connotes relationship, our Father in heaven. It's saying, you've got to get into, if there's anyone here that probably has not put your trust in God, he's saying you've got to get to know God. You've got to come into a relationship with him. Know him as your Father. And so he's saying, come in like you know him. Our Father in heaven. My Father. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. My Daddy. Like Jesus said, Abba Father. My Daddy. See, let's come that way. Hallowed be your name. And that means, again, we should always come in reverence, awe of God. Every time we come before him, we should never, ever take that for granted. Because sometimes we do. We don't treat our Father like any other thing on earth. We go before him in reverence, awe. See, and that's why he said, hallowed be thy name. And that serves as the two-edged sword. Because one, that's who God is, period. God, our God, is an awesome God. He's almighty, he's all-knowing, he's all-sufficient, he's all-powerful. He's the creator God, the ruler of the heavens and earth. He rules in the affairs of men. He said the heart of kings are in his hands, and he could direct them any way he wants to. That is our Father. Period. We go before him. And then the other side is, it encourages us, it builds our faith as well. It makes us realize that this Father that we're going to is not only able and capable of answering our prayers, he will do it. Because that's the God. He has the capability, he has the power to do so, and he's promised us that he will do it. So that builds our faith. Even going to God, knowing, remembering what he is, it builds our faith up. Matthew 7:11, Jesus said to us, if you then, though you are evil, knows how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts to those who ask him? So basically, that's again what he's saying. When we go in that awe, we know that he's not only able to, but he will do it because he promised us he will give us good gifts. And we ask him whenever we ask him. And that's why we say, come, saying, our Father, hallowed be your name. You are mighty, you are able to, and I trust you, and I know you will do it. And then he talks about your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus here is teaching us again and reminding us as Christians that we are different. That we're not of those who are consumed by material things and the attractions of this world. And people that are not answerable to anything, they believe their life is theirs, they could do anything that they want. But as Christians, we have a king. And like I've said, he's the king of all kings. And we belong to his kingdom. And his kingdom is not like the kingdom of this world. Because in this kingdom, there are no subjects. Rather, there are sons and there are daughters. There are princes and there are princesses. And they're heirs to the throne. So it's a completely different, and it's a God that every one of us have free access to his presence. He said, come boldly into the throne of grace to receive grace and to receive help in times of need. So every single one of us can have access to our Father. The kingdom of this world, not everybody has access to that king or the queen. But in this one, it's totally different. And that's what God is telling us. He said, let your kingdom come. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth. And because of that, you know, the love that is in this particular, in this kingdom of God and the richness of this kingdom, our desire and our prayer should always be that the will of our Father come on earth, even as his kingdom moves across the entire earth. And that's what Jesus Christ is teaching us. Say, that's the foremost thing. That is what is paramount in our heart as believers. We go to God, we recognize who he is, how awesome he is, how mighty he is, how just majestic God is. And then our fourth prayer is, Lord, your kingdom come. I'm thinking of all the people that let them come and enjoy part of this kingdom. All that this kingdom has that I've really enjoyed. I want other people to be part of it. Let your kingdom come on earth and let your will be done on earth. Because everything that the heirs of the kingdom need is in the kingdom. And therefore, we want that kingdom to come on earth. He wanted to take over the entire world. And that's what Jesus Christ is telling us. When we pray, that should be the first thing that comes out of our mind. And that's what we've been praying for, revival in the land. That's the heartfelt prayer. That is God's prayer, because we want God to move, to be across every part. Because if everyone on earth starts to live according to the will of God, then we've got heaven here. Absolutely. So, and that's what this prayer is about. Let's ask God to do that. You know, in Matthew 6, verse 33, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." This is Jesus Christ speaking to the disciples. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So we're not, because we know everything we need is in God. So our desire is more of God in our life, more of God in our society, more of God in where we live. And therefore, we know everything we need is all in there. Then it says, "Give us today our daily bread." Now, before even we start to talk about anything that we need daily, God said, let's come to him. First of all, acknowledge who he is, and then ask for his kingdom to come, his will to be done, even in our lives and in everywhere we go, before we even ask about bread, our daily bread. Now, bread was, and it still is, a staple meal in Israel and the entire world today. So we can look at this literally and say, okay, well, our needs, our daily needs. After all, God gave the children of Israel bread from heaven, manna, while they were in the wilderness for 40 days, was it? Yeah. He gave them that. So he daily was giving them that bread. And say, well, we can ask for that. And that bread could be anything that we need. I'm sure we've talked about it this morning. There's people looking for God for healing or any form of thing. We can ask for that daily. We're going to be getting to prayer at the end of this. But so at that point, we can say, well, Lord, that's what I want. Heal me. And the Bible says healing is his children's bread. And that we can see where God was speaking to this lady. He said, it's not right to take the bread out of the children's mouth and toss it to the dogs. So he said, it's the children's bread. That's healing. We can ask for it. It belongs to us. But more importantly, I believe what Jesus Christ was saying here is that when we ask for that daily bread, we're asking for more of him. Because he says in John 6, 39, that I am the bread of life. This is Jesus speaking again. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So when we ask for that daily bread, we're asking for more and more of Jesus. More and more of you. And again, like I said, everything we need is in Jesus. So when Jesus comes more and more in our lives, then we have more and more of everything else that we need. And that's what Jesus is teaching us here. Our daily bread, him being our daily bread. You know, the Bible teaches us to, as children of God, that we should constantly renew our mind. It teaches us to fill ourselves with the Spirit of God on a daily basis. That's what that prayer is about. Daily bread is asking for more and more. Infilling of the Holy Spirit. Infilling of the Holy Spirit, more of you, O Lord. Every time, and renewing our mind, and that helps us, and get into the Word of God, that renew our minds to think more of the kingdom that we belong to, not the kingdom of this earth. Then he went on and said, "Forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." We serve a merciful God, a very, very merciful God is our Father. And he wants to remind us again that he is forever merciful. If we have the Spirit of God in us and the Spirit dwells inside of us, he expects us to be merciful as well. Now, God is not saying in this passage that he forgives us because we are forgiving others. The act of forgiveness that we've conducted on that's why he's forgiving us. No, that's not what God is saying here. God forgave us even before we know anything about forgiveness. But what he's saying here, now that we know what it means to be forgiven, for a heavy weight to be taken off your shoulder, for what you actually, for everything that you've done, and you didn't deserve it, but he did that for you. Now you go and do the same for others, because you know what it feels like to be forgiven. So for anyone that steps on you, learn to be forgiven. Learn to just, let it go and forgive them for whatever they do. And that's why he's saying, forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. You know, I said about the last time I preached, obviously, I totally understand that because coming from where I'm coming from as a Muslim, honestly, being here is just the mercy of God. And I think, wow. And so for me, I relate to that easily. So to let go of any offense is easy for me, I'll say, by His grace. And that's what God is calling us to as well. And sometimes the enemy used that to hold us down. Unforgiveness. He used that quite a lot to and we think, oh, yeah, the person has done me bad, I'm not going to forgive. But we're not doing anybody any favor. It's ourselves that we're actually hurting when we do that. I don't want to get into unforgiveness as a preacher, but I'm sure you know that. And that's what Jesus Christ is saying here. He said, so that we can receive clearly from our Father, we need to live our life daily like that, forgiving generally and just moving on. Because we have to remember, we were forgiven once. One other area that sometimes we get into as Christians, is we become Christians, and then we look at everybody else and we look down, and those that are not Christians, and God, we forget that we are once like them as well, if not by the mercy and the grace of God. And what God is saying is that we should always look at them with the same eyes that He looks at the unbelievers. We don't like what they do, but we love them. And I thank God that we have that as a church here. We're always welcoming anyone. Come in as you are. That's God. Come in as you are. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And so that is what Jesus is saying here. Because freely you have received, freely give. And then we talked about lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You see, this, we are so privileged that we have somebody that is leading us. And not just anybody, but the Creator God, the one that created everything as it is, the one that knows everything, He's the one that is leading us. He said, lead us not into temptation. If for people that do not have Christ leading them, it means there's no check and balance. They can do anything and they think, well, this is my life. I live my life the way I want to live my life and whatever happens. But he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. With that, we can be confident that whatever it is that we pass through in life, that God is at work in us, is seeing us through. Because we know we have God leading us through. And therefore, sometimes I know there are things in our life that we probably don't like. But the fact that we put our trust in Him and we know that He's the one leading us on, and we know totally we're following after His will and after His leading, then we can be confident. This is the confidence that Joseph had after being thrown in the pit, sold as a slave, thrown into the prison for what he did not do. Joseph in the Bible. That's what would make him say to his brothers at the end, that what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. Because he knew that God was one leading him through. So with everything that's happened, because naturally, if you look at Joseph's life at the time he was thrown into prison, you'd be thinking, well, boy, you've done something wrong here. How can all of this be happening to you? But we know the story. Thank God that we're reading the story. We know he didn't do anything wrong. But he was thrown, he experienced all those things, but he had the confidence that, well, God must have a reason for making me go through this, because I know I serve God. I know that God is my Father. And so going through this, I trust God. So at the end, we look at the end, we could see now that, well, the reason God took him through that journey was so that he could deliver his people. But if we didn't have that reading now, if we just stop his life and we read at the stage where he was in prison, after all everything that he's done, we think, well, no, this guy is a lost case. But and most of the time, we don't see the whole picture. But God does. And because we know he does and he's the one leading us because we put our trust in him, then we should be rest assured and be confident that all of these will work together for my good. It will turn around for my good. Now, it's easier said than done. I know that. But that's what God is calling us to. That is trust. That is faith in God. And that is what this prayer session that Jesus Christ, teaches us how to pray. So when we pray, ask for God to teach us more, to lead us more, She said, Lord God, he said, ask daily for his leading. You wake up in the morning like, Lord, lead me through today. You are the one leading me. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from any evil, from the evil one. So pray how to pray. And God will do it because he knows us. He formed us. He knows exactly what we need, each and every one of us. I mean, what kingdom do you know of that the king knows everyone by name and knows the hairs on their head? No other one. Because the God we serve is, our kingdom is totally different. And we have to live our lives here with that mentality. That's why he says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not conform to everything else. Everything comes at us, but when we stay steadfast in his word and we pray our prayer, we do things differently. Our minds are different. The way we pray is different. Our standards are different. Then, fasting. Jesus now went into fasting. Again, in one breath, he covered fasting as well. And again, same attitude is needed, the same heart. Again, that fasting is a heart thing. And why do we fast anyway? We fast because we want to get close, usually, to get close to God, to subdue the flesh, so that the spirit is awakened to the things of God. That's why we fast. And if we are doing that, so why are we showing off to? It defeats the whole purpose of what we're doing. If we show off, everyone will know I'm fasting. Like he says in the Bible there. And they go, what's wrong with you? I'm fasting. Ah, well, Bible, Jesus said you receive your reward. He said, when we fast, look, be yourself. The only person that needs to know is him. And fasting is not just in food. I'm sure we all know that. It could be anything, because we could fast with anything that, you know, that we know is probably stops us from getting close to God or hearing clearly from God, so that we can, our spirit mind can be alive in Christ to hear clearly from God. And that's what Jesus is teaching us here. Again, it's all about attitude. It's about hearts. And it's about focusing on him, making him the center of why we do everything we do, particularly in prayer and in fasting. So in conclusion, God wants us to pray. He also wants us to fast, because he said, he didn't say if you fast, he said when. In those places, when you pray, when you fast. So he wants us to pray, he wants us to fast. And he wants us to do it right, so that we do not lose our rewards, because God is a rewarder. For every time we call to him, he rewards us back. For everything we request of him, he gives to us. He wants that relationship. And if he did not withhold his son and gave him up freely so that he can save us, then what is it that we're asking him that he will not give to us? That was the most precious possession. He didn't withhold it. He said, for the sake of these people, I will send my son to die so that on his account, they can come freely into my presence. So sometimes I look at that and I say, well, do you know what? Whatever it is I'm praying, God is able to. If he's not doing it now, it means there's a reason behind it. Because if he didn't withhold this Jesus Christ, then this is a small thing compared to that. He will freely give me this as well if he thinks, yes, I truly need it. But he wants us to keep being persistent in prayer. You know, Jesus at Gethsemane came to his disciples, Peter, John, and James, and said to them, why couldn't you just pray with me for 1 hour? So God wants quality time with us. He just wants us to do it right. He just doesn't like us to Babylon, to just keep repeating words and just, but say quality time. Even sometimes, you could just go for that 1 hour just worshiping God. It's a form of prayer. And that's why I love the worship this morning. You could just go in, Lord, you're just, that is enough. If that's all you're able to do, it's more than enough. But just spending time with him. So this morning, we're going to do the same. If the band can please come up, and if we can rise to our feet, we're going to pray, even as we have learnt this morning. And again, it is a private thing. It is between yourself and God. Forget everyone that's standing next to you. And sometimes we do that. We're so conscious that therefore, Lord, I don't want to pray. I don't. No, it's between you and God. He's the only one that is going to do it. And he's the one that we cry out to. So why don't you just start by just worshiping him, just recognizing who he is, recognizing how great God is. We could just start to worship God and just in our hearts and just sing praise, find thanksgiving to Him. Just recognize that He's is the all-sufficient God, the Almighty Father. And He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above whatever we can ever ask Him. So let's just close our eyes. Or if you want to join your hands with anybody that you trust fairly, that you want to pray along with, let's do that. Let's just do that for the next couple of minutes. Let's just begin to worship God. Begin to honor Him. Just begin to appreciate Him for all that He has done. That He did not withhold His only Son on our accounts. And He gave Him up so that we can come freely before Him. That we can know Him as our Father. And that everything that we ever need is in Him. He is the God of all sufficiency. He is the omnipresent, omnipotent. He is God Almighty. Lord, we just appreciate You. We bless You, Lord. And we pray Your kingdom come, O Lord. We pray Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. We pray, Lord, for Your kingdom. We cry out to our community, Lord. We need You more than ever before, Lord. Would You let Your kingdom flow across all our community, across the cities, the towns, the villages, across the entire nation, Lord. Let Your kingdom come, Lord, we pray. Let's pray His kingdom come. His will be done in our lives and in everywhere. Let's pray that, even as Jesus has told us, let's pray that His kingdom come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's just pray.